Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti and my wonderful co-host, Veronica Entwistle.
Hello, everybody. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, my darling.
This is going to be a wonderful show tonight.
Yeah, we have an exciting show tonight.
You bet.
And tonight's subject, of course, is healing our relationship in God and with God and Goddess to allow miracles and magic. And tonight we're going to discuss where we're going in this amazing journey of ascension. The miraculous is an experience of miracles and magic that is like the ineffable and unexplainable. There are no words to describe the state of the miraculous. And I really want to tell everybody tonight that if you're looking for a miracle in your life, this is the night to really hold the resonance of that. How it looks, how it feels. We're going to go through some steps, the best that I could come up with. It's been a day of magic, incredible magic, in preparation for this, and they've been, as they always do, playing in my life. Not just the ETs, guys, but everybody. This is a whole nother level, and it includes them. Don't for a moment think that it does not. I am vibrating all over the place, so I can just tell you that this is one of those nights. And so I wish for everyone lots of miracles tonight. Show dedication. This is a really interesting dedication, and this is something that was sent to me this week. And it really hit home, I thought. And I'm going to read it to you because it's really about our current economy, and I've had such an incredible experience around this that I thought that it was a very appropriate dedication. And I'm just going to read it. I generally avoid feeding the mass thought that we are moving into a tough time economically in our country. I choose to believe that the economy is not my source of good. I know the higher truth that God is my only source, regardless of the channels that God may use to flow that money through to me, from my very appreciated clients in my business or any other flow of money in my life. Now, this is someone else writing this. Since I practice Buddhism as well as Christian-based beliefs, I realize that my definition of God may be a little different from others' views, but I know that God is my ever-abundant source, overflowing with rich supply that can never be depleted. I acknowledge this and recognize that it is my divine birthright as a daughter of that magnificent Creator to open my arms to receive that good to overflowing in my life. I know that when I see lack, it's only a misperception of my finite mind and an invitation for me to remember a higher truth. I know it's important to keep in God we trust on our currency because that is what we must trust as individuals and as a nation, not the appearance of a weakening economy or trusting in economics or financial advisors, although I believe that some can express the wisdom of God as well in our lives. My prayer is for divine healing of our nation's economy and misperceptions around money. Please join me in this intention.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I just thought this was a really great dedication, and so the dedication tonight is to join with that intention. I just think that that's very, really timely right now as we're seeing things, on the news and certainly all the information that's coming out. And tonight I'd also like to talk about a new book. I've been waiting for this book to get published and waiting and waiting and waiting. This book was written by a wonderful client. And she worked with us for about, very diligently, every week for about a year and a half. And the team really worked with her on this book. This was, a real co-creative effort. And I believe all of you listening out there, and all my clients, I have no question in my mind, okay, about this, that every one of you are here to bring some great work, whether it's art, writing, healing, I don't care what it is, we're all here to bring forward our great work. And So I think this is just the first of many to come. I have other clients that are writing books, and this book is called The Power of the Possible, and it's imbued. Now, I often talk about Dolores Cannon's work as being imbued, and it is. I also know this book is imbued, and the reason I know this is because I was, you know, there through the process of her writing the book, but also she sent me a chapter before the book was ever even at pre-publication stage. And I read the damn thing, and I had the most profound breakthrough as a result. It was organic. And I thought, oh, my Lord. I told her, I said, I can't even imagine reading the whole book. So I'm just going to read a couple of things from this. I'm not going to read any chapters or anything. But it says, we all have loved ones whose choices we don't understand. And the more advice we give them, the more they stubbornly stay the same. So what are we doing wrong? Why do our relationships continue to remain difficult? Read these two stories and discover why nothing changes until we change. Why rescuers get slaughtered every time. Why powerlessness can be the most powerful state. Why we should give 100% and take zero. Why soulmates are made and not met. What to do when in the midst of a fight. The three fears that come with any relationships and how to handle them. How to make love work. Which should always come first in any relationship or marriage. And John Gray did the, right on the front of her book, which I thought was wonderful. He says, the power of the possible will touch your soul and open your heart to new dimensions of love and healing. So the name of the book, again, The Power of the Possible, and written by Ariella McCarthy. Her website, ArielaMcCarthy.com, and it's A-U-R-I-E-L-A, and McCarthy is M-A-M-C. Make sure I get this right. where the hell did I put the book? Sorry, everybody. A-U-R-I-E-L-A, and it's M-C-C-A-R-T-H-Y. Now, if you just plug into your computer, The Power of the Possible will come right up on Amazon. Fabulous, fabulous book. A great gift for all your friends. They will love you for sending it to them. Trust me on this one. And she will be a link on my website once I get my webmaster back online.
That's technicality.
Just a technicality. Phenomenal book. All the stories in there are true, and her insights are phenomenal. It really was, and she does thank the team. That's not why I'm endorsing it, guys. I'm endorsing it because it's phenomenal. Here's what I wrote. She's got it on the front page. Ariella McCarthy's writing has reached into my very soul to extract the damage and beliefs that held me back from everything I've been claiming I wanted but was unable to create. This, of course, is around a relationship. Her wisdom cuts to the core of every issue, and it isn't just in the words, it's in between the words. This is an inspired work that will change your life. And she also thanks the team in here somewhere. Bless her heart. They appreciate that as well. And believe me, folks, this is a great, great book.
I'm sure looking forward to reading it. Congratulations, Ariella. I don't know if she's listening.
Yes, phenomenal work. Phenomenal work. She's going to write many more.
Great.
And she's also got a radio show, which if you go to her website, you can get the link to her radio show. She'll be on every week as well, not on BBS, but on another web station. Let's get on to tonight's show. Let's talk about the miraculous and what it is. Again, this has been an incredible day in preparation for this show. Boy, they've just had a field day, so I know this is important. What is it? It's a realm, a place and a space. It's the ineffable, the indefinable. There are no words. When you are there, you cannot describe it. I'm not just talking about miracles here. I'm talking about the miraculous. And this is what I'm seeing right now, and I'm experiencing myself. So my first story tonight, because I've got a ton of them, is and then we're going to get into some steps, is about my mortgage, because this is such a great story. And, you know, I mentioned on the show a while back that I was concerned about my mortgage and on my home. And since home is such a big issue to me, you know, based on my own personal background of living in foster homes and so on and so forth and leaving marriage and giving away everything and twice.
practicing.
Yes. So, but I knew a miracle was coming, and this is an interesting feeling that I had, and so I went ahead and took all the steps, and I thought, I'm not going to go into fear. I did not go into fear. And I thought, well, the best thing to do is to write the mortgage company who has the existing mortgage and say, look, here's my situation. If you raise my payments, I can't make them. I have to give you back the keys. Let's work something out. They sent me a package, prepared all the documents for them and so on and so forth, and I thought, I'm going to be clean as a whistle on this. Could not refinance because Las Vegas is a depressed market and home values have gone down, so that was not an option. And talked to the young man who did my mortgage, is one of my very, very close friend's sons, and he treats me like I'm his other mother. And, you know, he was saying, Jackie, just give him back the keys and come on home. He wanted me to come back to California. And he told me how much the payments were going to go up, and it was close to $800. And I'm like, well, no, I don't see that as an option. I have a portal here. This is a temple. It's not just a house. And I don't care if I'm losing money on the house. To me, I know I'm supposed to be here. I know the energies are I'm supposed to stay. So I knew a miracle was coming. Didn't know how it was going to look. There was no logic or reason for me to look at. So my daughter's boyfriend, you know, is aware of the mortgage market, and he wanted to see if he could help, and I called him. And so we chatted that evening, and I got off the phone, and I thought, you know, I'm going to pull out my mortgage doc. I really want to see how bad this really is. And even though my girlfriend's son had calculated I thought, no, I'll just pull all my mortgage docs out, and went through them. And I'm looking, and I'm looking, and I'm looking, and I'm thinking, okay, all my years in real estate, you know, you'd think I didn't do a lot of residential, I did commercial, but I kept thinking, something's wrong here. So the next day I called Rick, and I said, okay, here's what I prepared, you know, this letter, and I emailed them over to him. What do you think? And he said, well, you know, it needs to sound desperate. And I said, well, I'm not going to go there. You know, here's the facts. I'm just going to keep it very factual. And I said, but Rick, wait a minute. You know, if I have an adjustable rate loan, now, doesn't that mean that if the rates go down, that my rate, you know, will be adjusted? And he said, yes. So I read him what my index was and so on, and I said, you know, let's pull this up and really take a look at it. So we pulled it up and took a look at it, and I was tied to LIBOR, of all things, which, you know, LIBOR rate is not something you normally see, at least I haven't been.
What's
around
LIBOR?
LIBOR is tied to the European rates and so on. It's an interesting index. He had a calculator, I did not. We started calculating it, and my payments are going to go down. Not only is my first going to go down, my second is going to go down.
Good job. Sounds like a miracle to me.
So after all of this work that I had gone through, and all the preparing of documents and tax returns and this and that and the other thing, but I never went into fear. You know, my sensing was that no matter what, this would all be okay. And I bless you, all of you. I had emails from some people, and I didn't realize, I certainly wasn't telling people for anyone to be concerned, because I really had this sense. I know I'm a creator, and I absolutely trust that I am supported in my work and what I'm here to do, and I do trust that. And and that whatever would happen would facilitate me continuing on in this space. I always look at the worst case scenario. Can I, you know, will I be fine if everything falls apart and I have to go get, yes. I always look at the worst case scenario and say, can I live with that? Of course I can. And because once that's out of the way, then you're out of that whole gray area. You know, the, oh God, suppose this happens, you know, will my life fall apart? Well, no. And so that to me, I was just ecstatic, absolutely ecstatic, and in such a state of gratitude, because this was set up when the mortgage was done. And so to me, I saw this as an incredible, I didn't have to do anything, I didn't have to go anywhere, I didn't have to struggle. It was just done.
It's nurturing.
And yes, it was very nurturing, and it was also very funny because I did my work, I did what I needed to do. I took my power, I stayed in my power, I didn't go into fear, and I didn't go into self-pity or into martyr. And believe me, I'm not bragging here, but these are parts of the keys of how we do this. So, now, in addition to that, I've had one experience after another in this last week of miracles, the miraculous, beyond just a miracle, but what I consider to be the miraculous. And I'll go with the miracles. Had a wonderful, wonderful client and friend who risked it all to go to, and she's written letters that we've read on the air, to move to California, and she was in her motor home, and she's been doing her work. I mean, she's an amazing creator. I've seen her create out of thin air over and over again. And she's sitting in this damn little motor home with five cats and her husband, a bed, and basically the two chairs that you drive in it. You know? It's small. She's been in it for months. And one of the neighbors, she's parked at her friend's house in the driveway. One of the neighbors filed a complaint, so she's got to keep the blinds down. So they're inside with the blinds down. And she had been looking at several places, but, you know, with five cats and, you know, her credit's not wonderful right now, maxed out, so on and so forth. And so I said, let's just send off the address of the place you want. Within an hour, she had a phone call, and she's, boom, moved in this last weekend. Someone else wrote, and their grandchild was in the hospital, and the prognosis was not good, and immediately I requested the team's help, had her send an email, and this is someone, again, who comes from a very high level and had a sense of total trust in this process. That baby was out in 2 days, and believe me, this was a miracle. Because the prognosis was not good. And but I could feel the moment I got the email that there, and I was back and forth on the computer waiting for updates and, you know, working. When these things come in, I tend to work. I don't know that I can explain this process to anyone, but with children especially, there's a great concern I always have that these are the innocents, and, you know, I can't do a session on them, but we do our best to help children in any way we can, as long as we're not overriding contracts. Sometimes we have to go and get permission, you know, higher self and the soul and so on, you know, to, sometimes we get permission, sometimes we don't, to override contracts. I got an emergency call from another client who was in Switzerland with her mother. And they had just found, she was at a clinic, and they had just found cancer in her mother's kidney. And the kidney had to be removed, and the other kidney was malformed and totally dysfunctional. So she would have to go on dialysis, and the mother said, no, I don't want dialysis, you know. And so she was very concerned. I said, send me an email. I immediately requested the team's help, and I worked on it myself, because we have an ongoing contract. I do work on her whole family. And, you know, I found myself working on her while I was walking, you know, while I was on the table doing up twice during the night. The next morning, the doctor came in and said, this is one of the finest clinics in the world, said this is something he had never heard of before. A doctor approached him and said, look, this is the latest thing, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, they've gone in, and instead of removing the kidney, surrounded the kidney with this new thing that will treat the tumor without removing the kidney, without, you can't do radiation and that kind of thing on a kidney. And she knew immediately it was a miracle. I want to say this about what happened with her mother, because I could not treat her. She doesn't speak English. She's Palestinian and carried a lot of energy around the Middle East and all of the, there's a lot of strong lineage in that family, and they've come in to heal a lot of the Middle Eastern issues there, which there are people who are doing that. And I work on the whole family around that. That whole lineage issue with the whole family is so huge. They're very big souls. The mother, however, is, you know, not exactly the same. But they had promised me that there would be a miracle, that this would come from the miraculous, not from... And that's why we knew the next morning, Marwa, who's very into, knew instantly. So I was in this last week in a state of real awe and almost to the point of overwhelm, going, wow, what do I do with it? You know, where do you, and I'm going to be really honest here, because, you know, there is a part of me that deals in what I perceive to be miracles every day. But the sensing of moving to the miraculous, that the ineffable, it's like a whole other level that you cannot describe. And I thought, holy mackerel, what do I do with this? And I found it interesting that I responded that way, because I think that this is something in every human, which is, we're all magical, every one of us. And if we knew that our life could be totally magical, can we handle it? Can we take that power and that responsibility? Veronica?
I don't know. I think we can. When you put it that way, that take that responsibility. What it, I don't know what to say here. It's like I feel like it's different. It's like moving into the miraculous, the consciousness of drawing it in is really quite a surrender in a way, isn't it?
It is a surrender.
Mm-hmm.
There is, I have found myself needing to be very quiet this week, and yet I've been on the phone constantly with people, you know, wanting to be quiet, and yet dealing with people not only during sessions, but my day is very, very long, like yours is, Veronica.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, finding myself on the phone from 7 in the morning till 9 o'clock at night. In addition to the sessions.
And I'm feeling just like you, a real drive to be quiet at the same time as being on demand a lot.
Yeah, exactly, mm-hmm. Exactly. So let's just kind of talk about the formula, because, you know, I have to draw on what has worked here when, you know, I work with people who are our clients already. You know, if you've had a session, I always say to people, you know, if you need support, just email me and ask the team for support in between sessions. And, what's interesting to me is where I've seen the real responses come is those that write with a sense of humility. Now, this is a paradox. This is a real, boy, this is where it gets real iffy.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a sense of humility coupled with gratitude, I can almost guarantee you something's going to happen. Now, if you do it with the intention, well, if I add this to my crest and this, then I'm going to get something, it won't work. It can't be a manipulation.
Hmm.
It really has to come from your very essence. Now, you know, I sound, I know, to people very confident in all of this, but I have a real sense of gratitude and humility with everything I do, although I may not sound like it. It's a paradox, everyone. I may not sound like it, but I have to tell you that there is, I have what I perceive to be an intimate relationship with everything and everyone that works with us, and that crosses all boundaries. I feel this sense of total intimacy. That's why people who've been to my home know that I have icons everywhere. Not because I think the I can't explain this. It's a temple. My home is a temple. It is a sacred place to me, which I hope for all of you, your homes are. But this is a sacred place. It is, and I treat it like it's sacred. I don't know how else to put that.
There's a reminder of presence everywhere.
Yes, there is. For me, there is. And everything in my home, I honor. I mean, I see the beauty and the honoring in it. And people, you know, like you, Veronica, I get so many. My girlfriend just got back from Bangkok and brought me this beautiful praying angel Buddha. It's just beautiful, and the energy on it is phenomenal. Phenomenal, because it hasn't been handled by a lot of people. It was created with such great honor over there. They create their statues and their icons with such a sense of honor. And so this carries that energy. And so at any rate, the other thing is, and please notice, I did not say to give away your power or to plead or be pitiful, because that's not what this is about.
Bargaining.
It's not bargaining. It's a paradox. There's a difference between entitlement and gratitude. Now, you know, when I first started, after Adrian DeVere died, I handled a lot of his email, almost all of it for a while, except for those that were in Hebrew, and somebody else handled those. But now Diana handles them over there, because she speaks English. She finally has a computer. And I got a lot of people that, because Adrian, you know, had just opened it up to the public and, you know, send your request. Well, I was amazed that people came with such arrogance and entitlement, and you should do this for me because, and, you know, you have all that power. And I already knew as soon as I read the emails, they were in trouble. It wasn't going to happen. My favorite was the man that wanted his foreskin back.
Just a minute, I'll pack it up.
I wrote back and said, we don't do plastic surgery.
That's funny.
But what I saw with a lot of things that came to, were addressed to Adrian and then were forwarded to me, were a lot of martyr and victim and demanding, a lot of ridiculous requests. But they lacked, not all, but the majority of them lacked a sense of gratitude. The other thing I want to say is this just the ETs, and the answer to this is absolutely not. There's so much more work at work here, and I can't describe it all to you. What does it include? It includes the archetypes, deities, beings that, you know, you're all familiar with, Jesus, Buddha, Isis, Osiris, Ptah, Sekhmet, God, Goddess, all it is. You pretty much name it, and it's out there. You know, the goddesses, the angels, the archangels, and I think it's hard sometimes for people to really wrap themselves around the fact that everything works together, that there is no separation on the other side of the veil. I think that this is, you know, the archetypes of our planet, the deities of our planet, are planetary. Some of them go out beyond that, but the majority of them are planetary. And you know, today, because I have a very strong connection to Sekhmet, and Veronica, you and I were talking about this earlier,
mm-hmm.
And I ran across this, and I included it because my backyard was filled with cats today, so I knew Sekhmet was really around. Now, mind you, I'm in Las Vegas. This is not a normal thing. But to look outside and see all these cats lazing around my backyard is kind of a phenomena to me.
Cool cat.
Cool cat. The word Egypt means the land of Ptah. This deity was and forever will be the archetypal force of creation, who came from the stars and who formed the world by thinking it into being and by speaking it with his words. In his blue aspect, his blue skin or blue cat, Ptah then ruled Egypt for 8,000 years, according to myth. His consort or complement during his age, this age, was and is Sekhmet, the great transformational lion-headed goddess.
Mm.
Now, Sekhmet is known as the goddess of, sometimes people will say 7,500 names, sometimes they'll say 10,000 names. We have a temple to Sekhmet here in Las Vegas, which is, and Veronica, you had an opportunity to go out there when you were here.
Yeah, we went. It was very, very profound. It was very touching.
Yes. And I have had direct experience with Sekhmet, and she's not. she had asked me to do something here before I ever moved back here. And, you know, I tell this story. I'm coming over the mountain with my granddaughter, and in my head she says, you are to open the keys and the codes. And I'm like, what? And I started laughing inside. I knew it was Sekhmet. I didn't know how I knew it was Sekhmet, which I always think is very funny. And I thought, I don't have a freaking clue how to open the keys and the codes, but I'm assuming somebody's going to show me. And which is pretty much me. I never asked how. I just assumed that whenever it's time, things will be shown to me. What I got done doing as I was asked, it's a long story, but I did do it. I went out to the temple of Sekhmet, and, you know, like she didn't already know, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just kind of in a state of honor, and I took off my jewelry, which is actually, I have a medallion that I wear that was made for me of Sekhmet. It's a long story. Very old representation of Sekhmet, and earrings as well by a very wonderful being. And I put them on her lap because she's in the sitting position, and I got down on my knees to kind of in reverence, and she immediately said, get off your knees. Don't you ever kneel before another being. And I was like, okay then.
You hopped to your feet.
Mm-hmm. I did. I hopped to my feet. So, you know, when we talk about these beings, and, you know, the reason I'm going into this, again, not self-aggrandizing here, is for people to understand that when we get into the miraculous, there are all kinds of things at play. And for me to really limit it would be ridiculous, because I recognize that I can feel it. I can't define it. And that's when you know you're there. It is the ineffable. At one time, I don't know, a year or two ago, we were doing a lot of work in Atlantis, and we did a session where we took people before the Great Crystal in Atlantis to do a blending, and it was a series of sessions that you had to do because you couldn't do it all at one time. And I think it was the third time that all the shields came down and you actually blended with this crystal, and that was that experience. As people defined it, was the ineffable. There were no words for it. Another time was during, I think it was my first attempt that we did, was a healing with God and with a relationship with God. And again, this was described as the ineffable. It is that sensing of an experience of the ineffable. There are no words to describe it. But I want to throw something in here. One of our clients came and she brought her children, and I took the children upstairs. I may have talked about this last week. I don't remember. Maybe not. Maybe, I can't remember if it was before or after that.
I don't remember this story.
Okay. Anyway, her children wanted to see the healing room, and they're young. So the boy got up there, and he immediately laid down on the floor. And I said, "Sweetie, you don't need to let me put you on the table." And immediately, he started leaving his body. He knew exactly, and he said, "I know this feeling," and he was there.
Mm,
and I put his little sister up on this wonderful chair that I have, and I said, "I'm putting you in the goddess chair," and sat her there, and then I finally put her on the table. I knew he was leaving too much. We needed to get him back into his body and reintegrate him. And I put her on the table. Well, she told her mother afterwards that she felt like she was God in the
room. Wow. Isn't that wonderful, huh?
Yeah, and I think she's 9, I believe.
Oh.
And she also asked her mom if she could give up her bedroom so that they could make a healing room where her bedroom was.
Wow.
And then her brother said that he would come back to the healing. He had to come back to the healing room. So let's get back to, how do you pull in the miraculous? Why is this happening now? Because it's time. I mean, this is part of the whole ascension process. We're moving out of that separation, that sense of separation coming onto Earth from God and from Goddess. Now, here's the key, and it's kind of a interesting paradox here. Because it has to do with your own power and being afraid of your power. Now, Marianne Williamson has talked about this. Nelson Mandela, so many people have talked about the fact that we're afraid of our power.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll go back to that with power comes responsibility and integrity. We're not helpless. We are powerful beings. And there is a wonder to that, but there is also this same element of honoring of a sense of humility, a sense of gratitude, and yet being empowered at the same time. Again, it's a great paradox. I wish I could give it to you other than speaking the words. That's the closest I can come to you. So how do you heal your relationship with God and Goddess to experience the miraculous? And, this is the other piece, that if you're still angry at God or men, you can't get there. If you're angry at Goddess, and many of us carry, an anger of feeling abandoned by Goddess, because in essence she was taken away. Remember that a long time ago, it was Goddess on the planet, and then after that came God in terms of being honored. Well, there is this, in the collective, this sense of abandonment with God or source of the infinite, coming down into this density and feeling separate, and with Goddess as well. And if we don't have those two healed, which is part of this whole chain of pain, moving into that miraculous, you're not going to let it happen because you're pissed. There's an anger there. Is this making sense, Veronica? I always have to look at you because you're kind of my touchstone.
Yeah, I'm just watching it and going, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I'm trying to decide whether I'm beyond that or not. But it's hard. It's like a gateway, isn't it?
It is a gateway.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the key.
Mm-hmm.
To get there.
Mm-hmm.
It is the key to get there. So, what does this mean? Well, it's about having a relationship with God and Goddess. And you can't have a relationship with God and Goddess, okay, if you haven't healed your anger. Because you're going to have that push-pull.
You're going to have that defense.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And because it sits in a collective, this is the whole thing of pulling out of the collective, is coming to that point where you feel that you have this relationship. So I'm going to go back to when in 2001 I got cancer, and you know I had been through so many things by the time I finally got there that you know it was just like, oh Lord. But when that happened, I knew that this one was between me and God, not the goddess, me and God. And it's because I was so stubborn, because I will override. I'm one of those people that I would push that boulder up the hill. I will make things happen. At least that's where I used to be. But I got it. So, I mean, there was no question in my mind. Even though I was in shock, and the prognosis was not good, by the way, when I was told at all, I got that this was between God and I, or me and God, I guess it is, or God and me. And I knew I had to surrender. I had to go to the greatest trust I'd ever gone to. Now, this had happened one other time. In 1987, end of 86, 87, right in there, I was going through a divorce. And I got cancer. And here I was with no money, no food, no car, no insurance. And a son. And I was like, oh, crap. And I'm in the hospital as an indigent, and I'm thinking, okay. Because in order to leave the marriage, I had to give everything away. And that's a long story, but that's beside the point. And I laid in that hospital, and I thought, you know, I'm not going back. I just surrendered to God, totally surrendered to God, not powerlessly, but I said, okay, I'm turning it over to you because I absolutely am not going to go back, and if you have a plan for my life, here I am. And in 10 days, it was totally gone, along with the tumors that I'd had for 10 years, everything gone. And the people at work had taken up a collection for flowers that turned into enough money to pay for my rent and food. And by the end of that year, I had $50,000 in the bank and a new car.
Mm. Did you go back into commercial real estate?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Chevron found me. And it was this was such an amazing story. So 2001, boom, I've got a different place, but I've got cancer. And I thought, okay, I have to totally surrender. I have no insurance. I don't have any cash, you know, to pay for this. And I was just getting back on my feet. And so I've told this story before. I hate to bore anybody who's heard it, but I knew I had to love the tumor, and I had to be in absolute trust in every moment. I could not deviate from my trust or my love, no matter what. I mean, I knew this was the ultimate moment between God and me where I had to learn to trust and I couldn't override.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a miracle. Everything was covered, and the prognosis in 1 week without any further examination changed overnight. I had a witness with me when I was given the original prognosis. We went back in a week later and the prognosis was totally different. And I thought, okay, well, here we go. And it was the most magical experience of my life. I mean, everything was paid for. The doctor charged me $800 for a major surgery that should have been about $12,000, somewhere in there. And, I can go on and on about this story, but I can tell you that it was part of my preparation, I know that, but it was my time to heal my relationship with God, to move to a total level of trust. And so I want to say to everybody, if you don't feel safe, then there is something you need to look at in terms of your relationship with God and God.
So what you were saying is that dealing with limitations and surrendering into the all that we are as well, right? That
it is, yes. Because it's surrendering to God and more. It is surrendering to the higher aspects of you. But the problem that I see is that we get angry at God when something goes wrong in our lives. As humans, the way I've seen people handle this is that their anger at God will come up.
Mm-hmm.
When they lose someone they love, I've talked to people who've lost someone that they love, and they're still angry at God over it.
Mm-hmm.
How could they let them die? They were such a good person. How could they let my child die? How could they let my husband die, my sister, my mother, my father, whoever?
Taking it all personally as well.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing with the ETs, where I've had people have this attitude of, they have the ability to fix the earth, why don't they do it?
Mm-hmm.
Where would you like me to start? And if anyone listening to this show doesn't know, my God doesn't intercede, go back to your Conversation with God books. I mean, it's all pretty much laid out. We chose to come here. This is a playground, in a sort of school, whatever you want to call it. And can there be, you know, one of the intensives, Michael told a great story about a woman who was going to teach her children about God. She was going to take them around the world, but they had no money. And they said, well, how are they going to do this? And she said, you watch. You just trust. She took her children around the world with no money, with their relationship with God was such that everything was provided for them.
Wow, wonderful.
Now, to me, that is the ultimate story of trust in God.
Mm-hmm.
And got it. But most people can't go to that level of trust. You know, the stories I told in terms of the woman whose grandchild was in the hospital, and it was so touch and go. She had that level of trust. She knew in her heart. I could feel it in the energy of her email. Her trust was totally there, and she didn't have to tell her daughter. She just knew. She had that level of trust. So, you know, when I share these stories, believe me, this is not me talking about how great I am. Please understand this. Don't think for a minute that this has not been a struggle for me, or that I haven't, you know, really thought, I mean, you know, when you're up against it, you pretty much have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can go to martyr and victim, or you can make a different choice. And in my case, I just had been through so much that I knew I didn't have any other choice. I absolutely knew. That's why I waited 2 weeks to have the tumor taken out, because I knew I had to love the tumor.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I had to work with the tumor. I knew that I did not have the luxury of fear.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have it because I knew it would come back and eventually kill me. I knew that. In my heart, I knew it.
You have to be pretty determined, too.
Well, that's where we're going now. And the reason I really bring this up tonight about miracles is because I can feel it coming in. When there's a touch, it's the touch of the divine. It's not just the ETs. There is a touch of the divine. And when you feel that energy of the divine, it's like, oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've pretty much been walking around here all week talking to myself, going, wow, just wow. Of course, I'm usually, I use more expletives than that.
Well, you live in a pretty miraculous existence over there, too, don't you?
Well, I do, but, you know, for me, this is about what it's doing, you know, great story. A man wrote me, his mom was going to have, they found cancer in her ovaries. And she was going to have surgery. She's 84 years old. And I had him send a picture, a client, of his mother. And the minute I saw her picture, I could feel that touch of the divine. And I put out her picture with the request and so on. When they took the tumors out of her ovaries, the cancer melted out of the tumors before the doctor's eyes.
Wow, isn't that wonderful? Oh, my.
That's the divine.
That's great.
Is it the ETs, too? Yes.
Oh, I wonder, can I say something?
Yeah.
I've been thinking about Ptah, you know, how do you say that? Ptah?
Ptah.
Yeah, well, I was thinking about how during the beginning of the Egyptian times, they talked about people coming from the stars, and I always assume that that's where our intermarriage with the ETs, and son of God, son, you know, all of that, son of God, son of man, intermarriages and so on. So when you're talking about the anger at God, I'm wondering if there isn't a big circle here about the ETs and about they're presenting a kind of an authority that we have some reaction to as well. And have they ever commented on that to you?
That's a piece of it. And that's what we're, you know, this all this work we've been doing in the second chakra with healing our relationship with the reptilians and all these other races are all part of that.
But it's all tied with God too, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It is. Because they were godlike. And, you know, was Ptah, I mean, if Sekhmet was a lion being, which would indicate Sirius, you know,
mm-hmm.
Who was Ptah? I don't know. You know, do I get all these details? No. They don't like me to get in the details. They let it unfold through the sessions, and I sit here scratching my head going, oh, wow.
As soon as I feel like the whole thing is about releasing reactions and limitations and beliefs from wherever anyway, isn't it?
That's it.
Because we're always in a state of creation.
Every moment. And I am, you know, as I'm doing some of these power retrievals and I see from the abduction experiences and I'll see the hybrid children, a gray and a reptilian and a praying mantis being all come in together, okay? I'm like, wow, okay? Wow. And I'm seeing how people's lives are being changed through the power retrievals with the abductions. So I'm just like... So it continues to fascinate me in terms of letting go of, again, somewhere this is all tied up in the collective. And for those people who've had abduction experiences, that is, I see almost another whole set of collective energies.
Mm-hmm.
I think, as you said, Veronica, I think it's about healing all of it. But that concept of God and Goddess, because it's so prevalent on our planet, wherever it originates from at this point, it still is the projection of God onto every man and the projection of Goddess onto every woman.
Mm-hmm.
When we can really believe that we have a total sisterhood and a total brotherhood, and we can, you know, and believe me, I'm being challenged this week with my ex-husband and my, you know, what's going on with my ex-husband and my son, to flood him with love. Period. No matter what. No matter what, no matter how he acts out.
I think you're pretty darn good at that releasing of reactions, Jackie.
Oh, I'm getting better. I walk a lot.
A little muscular woman now, right?
Well, I don't know about that, but I sure do a lot of walking trying to sort through all of this.
And, deep breathing, too.
And yes, deep breathing, and deep breathing, and deep breathing, and releasing, and clearing out my energy field, and remembering to allow people to be where they are and to flood them with love no matter what.
And if we're always a work in progress, always a work in creation.
Oh, and, you know, for anybody to say they don't get triggered, of course we get triggered. We're humans.
Mm-hmm.
We have to not, you know, not get caught up in, oh, I screwed up, and then judge ourselves. That's not the energy at all. The energy is to love ourselves and everyone else. And if we love ourselves, we can love other people. If we don't love ourselves, you're not going to be able to love anybody else. It's that simple, including God.
That is a big job.
This is ascension, guys. This is where we're going. This is where we're going. And, you know, tonight I hope for every one of you. I wish for every one of you. I intend for every one of you a miracle in your life. And, Veronica, tell us about your show, darling.
Oh, you know, last week I said Lynn Andrews was coming on this week. I was wrong. She's coming on this coming week.
Oh, good.
She's the woman who wrote about Medicine Woman and had all these amazing shamanic experiences in the 70s, kind of broke into a lot of consciousness for us. And I'm very excited that next week on Paradigm Shifters at 5 p.m. West Coast time, I'm going to be talking to Lynn Andrews about walking between worlds. And then at 4 o'clock, it's Radiance by Design. It's a call-in show. And I'll talk to you about energy and meditations and so on.
And people, she's wonderful. Tune in if you can. You know, Veronica, I honor you totally.
Thank you, darling. I honor you.
And your website, Veronica Entwistle?
Yeah, veronicaentwistle.com. No H in Entwistle, or you won't find it. Veronicaentwistle.com.
All right. And our website, echealing.com. It's an easy one to find. We're running up on the hour. I know they said 8:57, so we've got a moment. I really want to say to every one of you, and this is really what it boils down to, don't wait for something drastic in your life to touch into the miraculous. I had to go there that way. I've made that map. You all don't need to do that.
Excellent. Thank you for that, Jackie.
Do it the easy way. Believe that you have a blueprint for miracles, because you do. Everyone on this planet has a blueprint for miracles. It's accessing that. Every one of you. Affirm that daily. Please affirm it daily. I have a blueprint for miracles. You do, you do, you do. We love you all. A piece of every one of you is in Veronica and I, and a piece of Veronica and I are in every one of you. We really are all one. It can't be any other way. We were all created together, and what's created together is forever intertwined. We love you all so much and wish you the most incredible, miraculous week. And when you go to bed tonight, ask to experience the miraculous. Just to touch it, the divine. It is ineffable. There are no words. We love you all. Veronica, I love you.
Love you too.
Have a fabulous week. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone. Blessings.